right, welcome to Highly Questionable. On one side, we have Katie Nolan. On the other side, we have Mike Golick Jr., whose t-shirt I cannot actually make fun of today, which is a little bit disappointing for me. Let us continue.
Because my body is obviously built by biscuits.
Hell yeah.
Are you ready to call Giannis the best player in the world?
Look, man, we saw a historic closeout performance last night. Don't let anybody call it anything other than that. That dude put up a nifty and went 17 for 19 from the free throw line, which you can really only attribute to all that cliche focus, I want to win stuff, because free throws and all that stuff for him is clearly mental. And he locked all the way in and dominated this game without feeling like he was dominating the ball. Like, this rare that you ever see something like this. Milwaukee Bucks, world champions. And is Giannis the best player in the NBA? I mean, the dude did win two MVPs before this season. It is amazing how the MVP part will not get that for you, but he did it in these moments. It doesn't matter to me really if he is the best player in the NBA. What matters is that right now, he's the king. He is the guy that is on top of the mountain, and he did it in a way that is very fascinating. He doubled down on staying in the kind of place that we swear the NBA players don't want to stay. He bet on staying with the competent organization. They bet on him by going and mortgaging the future to get Jrue Holiday, and then they had a roster that was able to do this. Like, this was about as heartwarming as a championship celebration has been that we can think of. So, but right now, it's this dude's league. Now, the last time we said that about somebody who wasn't LeBron James, we said it about Steph Curry, and LeBron came and got super revenge, and we never want to say anything like that again. I feel like LeBron is old at this point in a way where I don't have to be scared to be like, no, this guy is that guy. He's the one that matters. He's the one that runs this right now.
Yeah, and I think opening it up to a conversation going into next year, we at least start with him in pole position, because we can say maybe Kevin Durant, with the compliment of a full offseason and that Brooklyn Nets team looking a little more true to form, might start to look like the guy that we got close to anointing with that not too long ago here. There are some other names you might be able to throw into that, but at this point, especially because I have to account for Giannis continuing to progress in the way he has. This is not like someone we've dealt with in Ben Simmons, who seems to have displayed a lack of willingness to try and address some of these areas. He said, you're going to take me as I am, whereas Giannis has said, I've got all these skills and abilities, and I'm going to continue to press forward, continue to try and add, sometimes infuriatingly so, as we watched him chuck up what we all dealt and thought was way too many three-point attempts earlier in this postseason. But this seems like a guy who's understanding, I know I've got some areas of my game that can be better. I won't even call them weaknesses anymore. And he seems wired in the way that says, when we have this conversation, I've got to account for him continuing to prove, because he's only 26 years old, which is the scariest part of this.
Yeah, and to that point, I believe he said after the game that he knows to go towards his strengths. You obviously go to your strengths more often, but you, where greatness is you have to be able to go to your weaknesses as well and know when to strengthen them and use them and be better at them. He had to do it all to win this championship. He started playing basketball when he was 12 years old, at an age when most people have already figured out they're never going to be good enough. He started playing basketball. He played a year in the second league of Greece and then came here and had to defend Kevin Durant. He's an incredible basketball player who we've been able to watch evolve in the spotlight, which is always something very fascinating to me, because it's easier once you're there, if you're all figured out, to stay in the spotlight. But Giannis has been working on his weaknesses in front of us, and people have not been quiet about it. People have had a lot to say. Players, James Harden had a lot to say about it. But Giannis kept going. He has this head down mentality and this loyalty that in a market like Milwaukee is so incredibly valuable. They love him. He's incredibly lovable. So I would say, I mean, it's tough for me to answer this question because he was already the best player in the NBA when he tweeted that he tried a smoothie in God Bless America. I had already crowned him then. But yeah, I would say right now, if there's ever a day where we can just say, yeah, Giannis, you're the absolute best, why not today?
I also want to say this off your point about the fact that he had not played basketball until he's 12 years old. It's a big old world out there, and I know that people are into different things, but I just don't understand what your country is about if somebody that tall don't touch no basketball until he's 12 years old. Like, what are you just having out here doing? Just getting stuff off shelves for people? Like, nobody was out there like, yo, this guy could probably unlock a lot of things if he just tried basketball. You never know how it might go for him. Nope, y'all don't do none of that. You let that guy not – I mean – He black too. Like over here, we gonna get you on the court whether you want to be or not.
Did Giannis prove that you can win in the NBA without creating a super team?
Ah, yes. Jalen Rose pointed out something very interesting about the Bucks roster. The only guy they have who was drafted in the lottery was Brook Lopez. They had Chris Middleton, a guy who played in the G League and then became an all-star. Giannis was the 15th overall pick in the draft, right? But this didn't prove that you didn't need a super team to win a championship. The 2019 Toronto Raptors would have given you some proof that you didn't need to do that. The 2015 Golden State Warriors would have given you that proof. The 2014 Spurs would have given you that proof. On the right time today, I had my buddy Vinny Goodwill of Yahoo Sports on, and he made the point. Weak GMs are the ones who told us that you had to have a super team to get this done. There are so many good players in the world right now, and there are so many different ways that you can build a championship team that you do not have to go out here and just make sure that you have 2-3 superstars in order to get it done. You can figure this out. But what I think, again, is so impressive about this, Giannis bet on Milwaukee. Milwaukee bet back on him, and then they wound up getting it done. Maybe this will be the example that people can see and then say, oh, okay, this is a way to do it. But we had long known you didn't need a super team to do this if you had been paying attention.
Yeah, I mean, I think the people who love a super team are us. I think it's us that push the narrative that you need a super. You don't need it. I will say Giannis had 47.6% of the Bucks points last night. That's an awful lot of weight to put on your shoulders. And it's going to require an all-star performance out of you most times if you're the only guy doing it on your team. You don't need multiple other people to do it, which, as Bomani made a great point, we've already known. So I would say this doesn't really prove anything, but when has anything in sports media ever been definitive proof of anything?
This is fair, and all of this, like, I appreciate Giannis immediately thinking of sports talk radio hosts and making sure that we are going to have this fodder for today. God bless you, young man. But I would say this, all of it's really hard. Like, if you want to talk trying to build teams holistically, look how that's worked out for the 76ers. That's been a difficult road. If you want to talk about super teams, hell, how's that working out for the Clippers right now, who had a couple of dudes force their way out there to try and find their way to greatness? Like, there is so much more that goes into team building. And that's why I don't have a problem with any of it, because it's also hard to come by. A number of superstars who like each other enough to want to force these things to happen, but will also sacrifice some of the way they have to play in order to make sure that it works. There's room for all of this team building, and that's what makes all of this fun, is trying to figure out, yeah, what strategy is the best, but also making sure you don't forget the people aspect that are actually a huge part of this reason. Like, finding a superstar in this league, you're right, Bomani, they're everywhere, is not that difficult. Finding one who's wired like Giannis to be patient enough to wait around for this long and say, nah, I'm going to stay put because I really think we can do this with all the pressures that these guys face, that's a little harder to come by. And so all of this is difficult. And that's why I think every option on the table is still valid.
No, that is the best point. Winning a championship, really, really hard.
I've never done it.
I tried. I really, really have, and I just ain't been able to come through. Goalie, you got one? Oh,
I'm
my
getting
bad.
Real sick of this.
Dog, we were
just asking. It's just a genuine question.
After yesterday, I don't believe you.
I wouldn't.
I wasn't
either.
Here.
Do you feel bad for Chris Paul?
Oh, Chris Paul. Chris Paul's been in the league for 16 years. Chris Paul is one of the greatest point guards that has ever lived. He is also one of the more insufferable figures that any of us can ever think about. I promise you, I did spend that whole game thinking at some point he was going to throw a temper tantrum. Do I feel bad for him? No, not really. They lost. There's no reason for me to feel any worse for him than I feel for anybody else on that team, because there's a distinct possibility that none of them are ever going to get to the finals either, because as Mike said, it's really, really hard to wind up getting to this point. He gave it his best. He played pretty well last night. In fact, he was definitely the Suns' best player in the course of that game. It just didn't wind up being good enough. But I don't like Chris Paul enough to feel bad when bad things happen to him. I don't know who the person is that likes Chris Paul enough to feel bad when bad things happen to him. I'm not happy that bad things happen to him. I'm just glad he got off the court without hitting somebody in the whatchamacallums just because he was mad about losing.
Yeah, I understand Chris Paul, the player, makes it really hard to ever feel bad for Chris Paul, the person, and that dichotomy is a really tough one to work through here. But again, you guys decided to pick at the old wound. I cannot look at anyone who gets close, this close to their dream, and then has to get covered in loser confetti, which is one of the worst feelings that you can find in the world for anybody here that I don't wish on anybody, especially not for Chris Paul, because yeah, while a lot of his teammates may never get back here, they don't have the context of Chris Paul's entire 16 years where tantalizingly close, like this is the NBA Sisyphus. He's just pushing this rock up an icy hill for all eternity. And that's something I'm always going to have a little bit of empathy for.
Bomani, it's me. I'm the person who likes Chris Paul enough to feel bad for Chris Paul right now. And it's, yes, is it because I have an overabundance of empathy? It sure is. But I got to just keep being me, and me feels bad. I feel bad because he was so close. He was so close, and he even had so many people rooting for him, which, to your point, people don't always root for Chris Paul, but they were rooting for him. He had it. He did well. I think it's hard to watch somebody get that close and lose it. It was hard to watch his post-game press conference, but you can put that in context, Chris Paul. He said himself he's not done. He's not retiring, so that conversation's over. It's back to work. And a loss is just the thing that leads to a win. You learn from loss. Adversity is what makes your story interesting. It's a force to work against. And now he has something to really push. I need to go get this. Will he do it? I don't know. But I think he should also feel very proud of himself. I feel like a mom when I answer these questions. He should feel very proud of himself for the way that he played in this finals. He was good. He was great. He pushed against adversity. It's what it's all about. It's the story of sports, and it has been since the beginning of time when Chris Paul first started to try to win the championship.
Katie, you swayed me because I had forgotten about that whole got COVID thing, right? And I do think that there is something particularly just damn, that's kind of messed up about getting that far and then getting the scourge, right? Like he got that thing that everybody's trying their hardest not to get. And I can't say what effect it had on his play, but it's a fair to wonder or to put out a hypothesis, or at the very least, it certainly didn't help. Now, if there was some part for me to feel bad for him on, it's that one right there. But just losing? I mean, somebody had to do it.
Up next on HQ.
We were going to give him $1 million worth of attention either way. Now we're just actually able to give them $1 million. Like before, we would just try to pay these players in hype, but hype doesn't always appreciate.
How big a deal is it that Bryce Young already has nearly $1 million in endorsement deals?
All right, so Bryce Young is the presumed starting quarterback for Alabama this year. He has not actually been named the starting quarterback for Alabama this year, but he is the most highly touted quarterback recruit that Saban has had in his time at Alabama. He was talking to the Texas High School Coaches Association, and he told the most arrogant group of people in football that Bryce Young has got a seven-figure setup, basically lined up in endorsement deals. He called it an ungodly amount, which made me roll my eyes, because how much do you think your salary is? Is that ungodly, Nick Saban? The point that Nick was making, though, was this is the brand of Alabama. That's what comes along with it, which means if you want to be the quarterback at the University of Alabama, there's a chance that you could make seven figures playing quarterback here. Don't think that wasn't the real message that he was giving the guys in that room. But deeper than that and important is this. Bryce Young is like the size of a smallish cornerback. NFL success is not guaranteed to him. This might be the most money he ever makes playing football is doing this. And this is the good part about name, image, and likeness. It is recognizing that for a lot of these guys, it's unfair to ask them to just wait till they get to the NFL, because the NFL, they were never going to get to in the first place.
Yep. It's the biggest takeaway from all of this is the whole idea was you don't have much promise beyond this 4 to 5 year window. Now, do I think that this is necessarily a $1 million quarterback as it sits right now with all these deals? Probably not. There's probably a little bit of embellishing going on here, all in the name of recruiting. And that's just it. As we've heard so many people cry foul, the one group you won't see when it comes to this, when it comes to what's going on with the necessary precautions being taken relative to the vaccine, is you don't hear a lot of crying from the really good coaches about how this is going to go. Nick Saban immediately looked at this situation and said, I am going to do what I've always done. Take whatever parameters you put in front of me, whether it's how you change the rules on the field or what you do to the rules off the field, and I'm going to turn this into an overwhelming advantage. And the fact that we don't see more college coaches look around, realize that, all right, I've been given the four lines of this box, let me work within it to the best of my ability, is a reminder of why Nick Saban's been able to stay here for as long as he has.
We were going to give him $1 million worth of attention either way. Now we're just actually able to give them $1 million. Like before, we would just try to pay these players in hype, but hype doesn't always appreciate. You can't always invest it. Sometimes you'll lose it and then it never comes back. And so now it's just sort of putting a dollar amount on hype and letting these kids, these young players, profit before they can actually profit. Because don't act like we only pay the ones who actually turn out to be great. You're paid based off of your potential. That's how contracts work. Obviously, this isn't contracts, it's marketing, it's a whole different world. But the world all kind of works the same, just in different places. This is him getting paid off of his potential to be something. You hope that it's not too much pressure. But I would say the pressure was there anyway. We were looking at him anyway. We were expecting him to be this great thing anyway. So don't let the fact that there's a dollar sign on it now change much. Except that now that kid can have that actual money instead of just a hope that someday he'll be as good as we want him to be so he can finally start making money.
I tell you this, though, don't you give me no seven figures when I was a sophomore in college. I mean, I do think people need to understand we are going to see a lot of bad ideas come to fruition, but that's their right. Like, they've earned the right to make bad ideas with their money. If they didn't give people money because they might do something stupid with it, wouldn't none of y'all have no money.
It's a fair point here. I do appreciate that we've got an instance right now where I can inject like the one little bit of quantum mechanics I've ever been able to wrap my mind around. And that's the fact that we've got Schrodinger's quarterback here. Like, we do not know yet if he is good or bad, but we know that there is something there and we have deemed it valuable even without opening out that box and finding that knowledge here. So welcome to Highly Questionable, the home of quantum mechanics on ESPN.
Provided by the offensive linemen.
Time to play the game that's really excited for baseball season. Do you question?
Training camp around the corner, right? All right, you give us topics and events, and we question them.
Do you question if this looks like a fun celebration?
All right, so Giannis, as you may have heard, NBA champion as of last night. And today, he decided he wanted to get himself a small snack.
Can I have a 50-piece? Sorry, I will put you. Can I put your camera? Do you mind or no?
Sure.
Well, good for you, Giannis.
There's 150,000 people watching you right now. Yes. So can I have, please, a 50-piece Mac Minis? 50, exactly.
Okay.
Not 51, not 49. Chicken Minis, yes. 50. And let me have a large drink. No ice. Half Sprite, half lemonade.
Let me tell you something, first of all, if you had put her a picture of her up in a lineup and asked me, where does this woman work? I would have told you that she worked at Chick-fil-A. And number two, when he's like, not 49, not 51, 50. Dog, they always get your order right. You ain't even got to do that. But it got mo cracking at the Chick-fil-A, if such a thing is allowed.
Oh!
Hey!
I got it!
Hey! Bucks in six!
Wow. This is unbridled joy.
That lady taking his order had no idea who he was. When he said 150,000, she was like, really? I was like, that's low. I would have thought it was more. That is a lot.
Listen, we have rightly showered Giannis with praise for how he responded on the big stage. We have rightly shouted out Malika Andrews for the job that she did on the big stage during this finals run and in the trophy ceremony. But I want to shout out this young woman here because she heard 150,000. She said, oh, for a second, and then she kept it moving here. She did not flinch when the camera got turned her way. That is preparation meets opportunity.
Chick-fil-A, because you never know when 150,000 people might be there while you take some tall man's order.
Time to play the game that's actually really excited about hometowns next week on The Bachelorette. See? Or no?
No. No. I just feel like I just want to say no over and over again. You tell us it's on TV tonight, and I tell Mike Golick no.
Tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern, a replay of U.S. versus Sweden.
Yeah, let's go revel in the American national team losing. That seems like a great idea, but if you want to, you can. Here are some quotes from Megan Rapinoe after their loss to Sweden.
Megan, how would you evaluate this first game of group play?
I mean, obviously it's not good. We got our kicked a little bit, 3-0.
There it is. There it is. There it is. Tune in to watch exactly what Megan Rapinoe said just happened. Wow. Katie, you intrigued.
I am. You know why? I'm going to watch it because it was, I'm a bad fan. It was at 4:30 in the morning and I didn't watch it. I woke up to find out that we had lost, we being the United States, you can say we when it's a national team, that they had lost the game after 44 unbeaten. Look, they lost in 2016 to Sweden. Sweden and I have a real problem. I know a lot of people don't have anger towards Sweden, but I found some and I'm sick of it. So I'm going to watch the game, try to find out what went wrong so that I can, you know, get in there and really help them out for the next game.
Yeah, you know, it just kind of just hit me like, wait a minute. You said the Olympics, like they already started? Oh, okay. Whoa, I wasn't sure these things weren't going to be canceled. Mike, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued. I'm glad Katie's taking notes because I think she's the only one of us with the three with a direct line actually to the women's national team. So maybe you can actually talk to them about this. But as far as missing the game this morning, Katie, I think that's okay because in the early stages here, we're kind of allowed to take for granted how freaking good our women's national team is at this stuff here. Like I usually clock in once I know it's supposed to get even somewhat difficult, but I become accustomed to a certain standard of living based on their excellence. And I'm sorry for that, but...
All right, that is our show. Check out Katie Nolan's podcast, Sports. It has a question mark and a few sports in it. Mike Golic Jr., check him out, 4 to 7 Eastern, Chennai and Golic, ESPN Radio.
Listen to The Right Time of Bomani Jones.
Katie, maybe a little late, but I love you all the same.